The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
How was that for different? That's pretty good, right? Okay, here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. I think you can tell where this show's going. It's Expository Thursday. That's Expository Thursday, as we absorb the Word of God into our spiritual life like we consume bread for our physical life, because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. First up, everybody acts like they know everything about everything. But the truth is that people don't know that much. They don't even know Bo Diddley. Even the Apostle Paul needed directions for decisions and decisions for directions. We're going to cover that in the Philippian text. Also, the worldly false prophets claim there's no knowledge about what happens after we die, but that only applies to Christians if we don't read our Bibles. See, that's that read the Bible thing. And finally, God will do in our lives what is best for his body and not what is best according to our own fantasy island.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing, of which we just survived that introduction. See how we did that? Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, oy vey, oy vey, so much more. Oh my goodness. Oy vey. We're asking you, hey, what do you think? You know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's the phone number. For those that are afraid to call, I will tell you this. You will not get a mild shock if you dial the numbers. I'm just telling you. For those that like to text, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. We talk about pop questions. We do our best. I mean, it's not perfect. We just do what we can. We talk about praise reports and prayer requests. And typically you'll see me, if you have a prayer request, I'll pray for you right then and there. Why? Because if I'm driving home and I'm dodging traffic and all the crazy drivers, I'm not thinking about praying. I'm thinking about, you know, surviving kind of thing. And I want to be able to pray for the people and keep that up and on board. Also, we do trivia, as most of you know, and a lot of people enjoy the trivia, and we like that people enjoy the trivia. We think that's rather cool. So we will do trivia today, and it won't be too difficult. I am forewarning you, and I told you this the other day, tomorrow's series of messages, very tough. And then today, either in this segment or the next, I'll share with you the problems I created in my own PhD class, because I'm a nice guy. Trouble doesn't follow me everywhere I go. It just walks next to me. All right, here's the
right
very...
Right beside.
Right beside the side. Is that terrible? All right. So it's not a divisionary thing, so I don't want people to get that, oh, he's a divisionary guy. I'm like, oh, stop that. All right, here's the first trivia question. What color was the robe that Jesus wore when the soldiers taunted him? Oh, that's a good, straightforward question. There you go. What color was the robe that Jesus wore when the soldiers taunted him? Don't forget our revision to our DNA. DNA, D stands for draw closer to the Lord daily. Never be ashamed. That hasn't changed at all. And then always be ready to serve, okay? To serve. Okay, so you got the daily, you got the never be ashamed, ready to serve. There you go. That's our DNA. Well, I got so much to cover. Let's do the teaching and the text, and then I'll share with you after the bizarre thing that I did. Let's play our music for our expository teaching. There it is.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
That's what I'll say about all of you if you can get through this hour. Wow! That's all I can say. Wow. All right, let's get right to it. So I'm actually going to pick it up in Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to do verse 21 again, but we're looking at 22, 23, 24, and 25, and I think 26. So here it is. So to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am going on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to part and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus may overflow on account of me. Paul starts off and he talks about to live is Christ, to die is gain. We understand that. It's a great passage. A lot of people have heard it. A lot of people understand it. And then he says this really weird thing. And keep in mind, this is a very intimate letter from a group of people he's very close to. And this, you don't typically find this in Paul's writings, but it's really rather cool. He goes, if I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. But what shall I choose? I do not know. There is an entire school of theology devoted to, did Paul actually have the authority to make this specific choice on whether he was going to keep going or not? The conclusion you get when you study all of this together is no, because he recognized that it was going to be more God's purposes than his purposes. But that's not the focus, and you can get into that debate all you want. Here's the focus. He says this, what shall I choose? I do not know. That's the part that you and I should go, hey, I relate to that. What shall I choose? I can get into this from a very simplistic point of view. We are having an anniversary dinner coming up, and what we shall choose to eat, we do not know. That's as simple as that. When we're talking about what we shall choose, we do not know, we're talking about the things that are connected to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about whether you should brake if there's a stop sign. That you know. He's talking about what he does not know. Okay, and that means that when we're led by the Spirit, we're led by the Spirit in the things that the Spirit needs to lead us in, not in whether we should use a tissue after we blow our nose. The answer is yes. So I'm trying to make it so that you understand what he's wrestling with, and he really doesn't know what he's going to do. I want to use just this opportunity to talk about a few things in Scripture that give us direction, because you have decisions to make, and you need directions for that, and you have directions to take, and you need decisions for that, okay? 2 Corinthians 2, 12 through 13. I got a chance to share this with Tommy Barnett's son many, many moons ago. Now, when I went to trials to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye and then went to Macedonia. It wasn't that God shut the door down, and people say, well, if it's an open door, it must be the only direction you can go. Well, that's not scriptural. What's scriptural is that the open door is there, you go through there, and you get that sense, that peace of mind is, this is where I'm supposed to be. And that's something that we need in the process of knowing our decision-making and if we've made good decisions. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If God wanted to find fault with you, he would, and he could do it in a heartbeat, 1,000 times a day. But the bottom line is that Scripture communicates to us that God is generous, and if we seek God, wisdom from God, he'll give it to us, okay? And he won't do it based on how good you're doing. He'll do it because he's God, and he's generous. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We know that there's direction from the word of God. We know that there's direction in the counsel with people. We know there's direction in all these things. We just don't utilize these opportunities and tools of direction. We don't use peace of mind. We don't use the leading of the Holy Spirit. We don't use the Word of God. We don't use counsel. We don't use some of these things that are straight before us. And we need to. And even Paul, as powerful and wise and close to the Lord, I would say that's fair, close to the Lord as he was, he's like, what shall I choose? I don't know. Because that happens a lot. Why does that happen a lot? Because you're not God and I'm not God. And here's a real weird thought. We're probably doing the best we can. I mean, that's really what it is. And some of those decisions are going to turn out, they're going to make you look really smart. And some of those decisions are going to turn out and they're going to make you look really dumb. And that's how it goes. But the idea is that it's dependent on God. And you and I am making decision-making, and he's telling you. I mean, this is a very intimate statement. First of all, he's like going, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. I'm running out of steam, you know? And if you, at this point, just so you can know, he was running out of steam. I mean, it was actually happening. But he's like, I don't know what to choose. I don't know what to do. There are certain times in your life, in your walk, where you go, I don't know. That's what you're for. That's what you look to God, and you say, direct me. And something that Jerry Podiak was my general manager when I was a Rax roast beef fast food manager 40 years ago. He said to me, Dave, he said, as the manager, he said, make the best decisions you can. He goes, I never forgot this. When you're right, you got lucky. And when you're wrong, you don't do that one again. I thought, boy, that's good advice, right? That's how the Lord teaches us. That's not even that far off. That's really just great advice. And so there's many times you come to a fork in the road, okay? The answer is spoon. No, the answer is make the right choice. Do you like that? The answer is spoon. Come on, that was good. Okay. Here's the bottom line. Even Paul wasn't sure all the time. I think he was closer to the Lord than most of us, and definitely about his father's business. Nothing wrong with that, okay? There's nothing wrong with being human and depending on God and going, I don't know. All right, when we get back, one of my fave things to talk about, absolutely, we're going to talk about what happens when you die. I mean, that's kind of important, isn't it? The answer to the question, by the way, what was the color of the robe? It was purple. It was purple, for those that want to know. If your Bible says red, All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, he's been good to me.
Doesn't he know there's a lot of cholesterol in lard? I'm losing it here. What? The lard? What is that guy? Where is he from?
The David Spoon Experience. On Christ the
Solid Rock. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I love that one. The lard is good.
The lard is good, too.
All right. Let's keep in mind. Now, I want you to know, I'm just telling everybody now, Tierra, Terrific T gets the opportunity to answer trivia questions, too. So not only do we have text and phone, but now we have somebody that can raise their hand where I can see it, and then she can answer because she knew the last question. So she was like, I know that. It's like I didn't know that she knew, and so now she's a part of it, too. So I'm just warning you. Yeah, you'd have got that right. You'd have been right on target there. All right, here is the next trivia question. By the way, the text, 214-210-8483, and then the phone, 972-445-0770. This will take you a little longer if you're texting, but you can do it. It's not that much longer. What is the last line of the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We know that's the first line. What is the last line of that psalm? That's a good one. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Don't forget, hemustincreaseministry.org. Really pertinent, especially if you're thinking, gee, we want to give. Then the answer would be, that's a good idea. All right, what do we got? We got somebody calling in on the question? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Jim.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Doing good. I'm doing this from memory, so I might have it wrong, but... And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever?
That is correct, sir. You are right.
Okay.
You are right, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
In the Bible, I wasn't sure if I hit the right location there, but that makes me feel better.
Yeah, you got it. You had it on target. Excellent job, and that's really good to do by memory because it's not like it's you know, there's a couple of lines in there. You got to think through it, like you know, all the different elements. Excellent job.
But that's an interesting transition from the way that psalm starts out to the way it ends up. That's a beautiful transition.
Exactly. And that I love that song. I talked about this the other day, but that song was written in a cave, and it's like people don't realize how powerful that psalm is still, but David wrote it at a very dark part in his life, but that's what the Lord often does, takes those dark parts and makes something shine so bright that it affects people for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Hey, David, one last question. If I wanted to send you off a book to take a look at, is there an address you can give that I could send that to?
Yeah. The first thing I would tell you, you can always send it to the station here, and there's an address on the KAAM 770 website. But then if you go to the hemustincrease.org and you put a fill out on the form and just say, hey, I'm looking for an address, I'll send you an address to do it that way.
Sounds good, sir. I'll do that.
Problem.
Thank you very much.
You got it. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Excellent job. There we go. Wasn't that fun? It's always fun. Our lives are fun. All right. I can't tell you about this thing yet from school because it's just so – I'm still processing it in my mind. Sufficient to say that they asked a question in one of our groups. So there's classes, and then there's like one little social group on Facebook, and I was just invited to that like last week. I think I'm going to be uninvited by tomorrow. So I'll tell you what happened in a second, but let's go back to – the text. Don't forget the website, which we've already played for you. We want you to be aware of that. Keep that kind of on the forefront. forefront. But here's the next thing that Paul says, and I want to get into this because this is a very important element for believers to operate in. In verse 22, Paul said, if I'm going to go on living in the body, this shall mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Okay? I need to really communicate this without ruining God's word. It is much better for you and I to depart and to be with Christ than it is to be here. As much as you think you're having fun now, okay, although some of you maybe not having so much fun, okay? As much as you think is going on now, to be in the presence of the glorified Jesus Christ, our Messiah, who's at the right hand of the Father, at the center of the throne of the universe, in the kingdom of God, is by far exceedingly abundantly better. It's kind of the difference between living now, having a kernel of popcorn stuck in your tooth, or going to a restaurant and having somebody, if you're a meat eater, putting a 96-ounce porterhouse right in front of you saying, just cooked all for you. I mean, it's just like it's the difference between those two. The idea that we would be with Christ is outstanding. It's phenomenal. Your body right now actually could not handle being in heaven. It would have to be changed. You'd explode with the level of joy that you would be getting. So he's recognizing and telling. Look, he's telling his Philippians, the people he's close to, you know, I want you to know, you know, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And he knows it's better. He knows this is so much better where we're going. Here's what Luke 16, 22 and 23 for believers need to remember. The time came. This is a story, by the way, that Jesus told in regards to the beggar and in regards to the guy Lazarus who went. This is the parable one, the Lazarus who went to hell and not to heaven. And by the way, this is the same psalm that Billy Graham uses to make reference to his wife passing and him passing. I'll tell you this in just a split second. This is what it says. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died, and he was buried, and he was in Hades, where he was in torment. So the difference between the two is if you die and you're with Christ, you get to be carried by the angels to Abraham's side. One of the things that Billy Graham used to say is, I think my wife was carried to the side of Abraham. I look forward to being carried the moment I die by the angels to Abraham's side. I always liked that because I had just a ton of respect for Billy Graham and just always thought that he was really always, you know, I mean, he caught these things that were hugely important. But let's understand what else Jesus said. Luke 23:43. Jesus, this is to the guy on the cross next to him, and he said, remember, Jesus said, truly, I tell you today, when? Today, the guy was about to what? Die. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. When you die, you're not, okay, now your body sits in the ground and there's no consciousness and nothing happens. That is not what the Christian faith teaches. What the Christian faith teaches is that your body will be in the ground, but your spirit is immediately with the Lord. Immediately. And here's another portion that says this. We are confident, this is 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Your body is not where the whole thing goes. I know it's hard for us to get that because we're corporeal beings and we don't understand that, and we're finite beings and we don't get that, and we're linear beings and we don't get that. But the kingdom of God is not for the corporeal, and it's not for finite but infinite, which is why the imperishable is what's got to be replaced with the perishable. And it's not linear but interlinear when we get there. It's just like, wow, there's so much cool stuff coming. Romans 8:18 says, I consider our present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. The hope of Christian faith is the greatest message of mankind that they could ever get. If Jesus came and there was no resurrection, he'd be a really cool dude. But with the resurrection, it is eternal life for all of us, and not eternal life that's terrible, but eternal life that's awesome, illustrated by it being so great, the reference to heaven is that the asphalt is gold. How about that? How about instead of thinking that we can have 72 or 74 or 77 virgins and that that's some kind of paradise, which, by the way, seven wives in any lifetime, that's not a paradise. Seven husbands, that's not a paradise. You're crazy. What are you, nuts? What is a paradise is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more depression, no more discouragement, no more self-loathing, no more people attacking you, no more accusing, no more feeling lousy about yourself, no more feeling the need to lie, no more feeling the need to duck, no more feeling the need to hide, no more fear. Oh, that sounds good. And a Farrell's anytime you want to go and get a root beer. Okay, I'm there. I'm there. I'm in it. That's what we're talking about. And when we die, it's far better. It's not kind of better. It's like, well, it's going to be similar, but it's going to be. No, it's not. It's far better. It's far better. And where you're going when you're with the Lord, far better. And Paul goes, oh, no, I'm stuck here because I go, you know, I'm here, but you know, I'd rather be there. And it's like, that's how we should all be. I'm here, but I'd rather be there. And people that don't understand that and reject the truth of Jesus Christ and reject the gospel and reject the eternal life that Jesus is offering, those are the people that are being referred to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, 11, and 12, where it says God will send them strong delusions that they might believe a lie. Why? Because they rejected the truth. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. People go, well, he didn't mean that. That's what he said. Well, he didn't mean that. That's what he says. This is the part that drives me a little crazy. Well, he meant what I say he meant. Well, I think I can read his words too. They say he's it. One mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. Got it. One name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Jesus Christ. Got it. I don't got to be a rocket scientist. I can read. See Dick run. See Jane run. Got that? Okay. That's good. I love that portion. Where we're going, so much better. Oh, it's just so much better. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys
in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really, drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope, federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave.
I got nothing to say. There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I am glad that you are on board with us today. I hope the show is a blessing for you. I hope it's somewhat encouraging to some degree. There's a lot of news. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. But the gospel, the good news, straight all the way through. Keep in mind, you can reach out to us if you want to, 214-210-8483. That's going to be the text. The phone call, 972-445-0770. There was some discussion about putting a message in a fortune cookie and sending it to me. I don't think you'll be able to get to us in time. I feel that that will not work out well for you, but you are welcome to try. Here is our next trivia question. Timothy's mother was Jewish, but her father was... Ha 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 ha. Just going to leave it right there. It's a tough one. Timothy's mother was Jewish, but his father was... 972-445-0770. Also, 214-210-8483. Let's double check. Our website. We got to do that. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, excellent. And I'm just hoping everybody will respond to that and get the opportunity to look on the website. You know, there's audio and there's video and there's all this other stuff on there. And also the opportunity to give. Hint, hint, hint. I am going to talk to you about my PhD class in the next segment. I got to wait. I got to give it every ounce I can. So before we get to that portion, ladies and germs, okay, it was funny. I do want to do a little bit of history. So we cover it. Do we have a sound for history? We don't really have a history sound, do we? Sometimes you could play Debbie Downer's. This would be pretty funny. There you go, right there. There's a couple things to keep in mind about today. Nothing too major for those that want to know. Today is known as Just Because Day. I don't know what that means, but I just shared it with you just because.
Well, let's see if somebody can call about ordering us a pizza.
Just because. I like that. It's National Banana Lovers Day. I don't know. Do banana lovers need a day? They need their own day?
I guess.
I mean, banana cream pie lover day, okay, but just bananas? I don't know. It's Tarzan Day. I have nothing. I got nothing to say.
Love Tarzan.
I don't even know where to go with that, though. What do you do? Tarzan. You can start doing a roar. And then it's, and listen to this. In the world, it's Rock, Paper, Scissors Day. That's not one I would expect to even come across. A couple things to tell you, and the two of these are really, really cool. Okay? In 1896, on this day, the world's shortest recorded war took place in 1896 on this day. Do you know how it was fought between Anglo-Zanzibar? It's called the Anglo-Zanzibar War between Zanzibar and United Kingdom. Do you know how long it lasted?
Like, I want to say like a few minutes, but I feel like that's like overrated.
38 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right. Yeah.
38 minutes was the longest recorded war, right?
I mean, that's not even an episode of Star Trek without the commercials. I mean, it's just like, wow, really? I thought that was fascinating. And then in 2003, on this day, Mars makes its closest to approach to Earth in nearly 60,000 years. That was about 17 years ago.
That's probably why it was so hot that year.
That's good. See, folks, she's just coming into her own. It's just like, that's a great line. That was a good one. Last thing. Oh, somebody's calling in. They perhaps are calling in on the trivia. We would hope that would be the case. And then we'll get into the next portion of Teach, which I think is really, it's just really cool, really effective. Okay. All right. So I guess I'm going to do it. So do I keep going? Do I not keep going? I don't know what you're doing. Is it we do. Okay, here we go. Okay. All righty. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Eric.
Hey, brother. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How was the launch? How was the stuff you got to see?
It's been delayed. It's delayed till the day we leave.
Oh, that is so nice.
Yeah, we do have another opportunity tonight to see a different launch,
okay. But
it won't be as spectacular. Anyway, I just wanted to answer your trivia question.
All right, fire away, my friend.
I forgot the question, but I think it had something to do with, is a Gentile Greek?
Yes, so Timothy's mom was Jewish and his dad was Greek. Gentile Greek, which should tell you that there were mixed marriages for ages. In fact, if you really go back into Moses, his second marriage after his wife died, married a Cushite, which is like, okay, that's completely two different people and two different races. And nobody seems to recognize that. They just seem to kind of bypass that. But yeah, that's right. And that was an excellent answer.
Yay! Well, I thank you. You're a blessing. I love listening to you all day long, and well, actually, an hour a day and 5 days a week is more than enough. And also, God bless Sweet Tea.
You got it. Thank you, brother. I appreciate
Terrific
it. Okay.
All right.
All right. God bless.
Have a great day.
All right. All right, bye. Yay! Eric comes through. Yay! Okay.
Such a nice guy.
He's a great guy. All right, let's get into this next text. So here's something that's really going to catch some people a little bit off guard. Here's Paul saying this. Now watch this. He says, if I'm going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Now, here's what I want to bring up about this. This is Paul. Now, Paul, he's not dumb. He knows what's going on. He's walking with the Lord. He kind of knows where things are going, and they're not going to end great for him. But he's like, yeah, maybe my time wasn't whether I'm going to go or not. I'd rather go because it's better to go. But the reality check in this whole thing, folks, is that it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So let me just say this real quickly. Whatever your Christian fantasy island is, get rid of it. Because God is not that interested. Look, deplane. The Lord doesn't care. It means nothing, okay? It's much more important for us to understand that the necessity of the collective. Got to be careful when I use that word for any Star Trek fans. The necessity of the collective far outweighs the individual preferences. Putting the needs of others above personal preferences is one of the most important principles of Scripture. And you think, well, how could you say that? Well, Jesus said it about 15 times. Paul, in this book that we're going to study, in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 verses from now, says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In other words, we are supposed to spend a portion of our life thinking about how the other people are doing. Unfortunately,
What happens is when you get a command like love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, love your neighbor as you love yourself, people stop at the love yourself and never get to the love your neighbor part. And it's like, no, no, you're supposed to love your neighbor like you love yourself. Okay. In other words, you're supposed to like, you know, move that from, yeah, I like myself. Hey, you know, if I was that person, I'd want somebody to care about me. And it's like, you're supposed to have that attitude. You're supposed to do unto them as you would have them do unto you. And Paul's like, look, for me to stick around, it's better for you. And then he does a conclusion and says, because of that, I'm sticking around. He already knows his answer. This is why I don't think he was really thinking that he had the decision, the ability to just cut off his life. I think that's a kind of a bad theology. But I would never get mad at people if stuff like that. But I think he looks at the conclusion of it and goes, you know, I'd rather be with Christ, and that's just far better. But you guys really need me? Yeah, I'm going to be here. That's the attitude. That's the spirit with which he's talking. And why that's important is because that should be our attitude. Our attitude should be, you know, the putting of the needs of others should have a greater degree of impact over our personal preferences. That you can't, I don't think I can say this clearer. When you are dealing with people, when you're engaging with people, consider how they would feel and respond appropriately. I mean, how would you like to be treated in their situation? Treat them that way. Okay? I mean, it's not even that it's really that complex. It's that the interest of others is supposed to be as important as the interest that you have. If Jesus came to earth with just self-interest, he would not have laid down his life for us so we could live forever. If Jesus focused on what was important to him and not important for us, there would be no sacrifice. And it's like, no, he came to save that which was with that those that are lost. That's why he came. He came to break the power of Satan in people's lives. He didn't come just for the fight with Satan. He came to loose us from the grip of Satan. Who's he doing that for? Us. He didn't need it. It's not his problem. He's not going, oh, I'm just really stuck here. He's got me in a full Nelson. I mean, that's not what's going on. It's that the devil has us captive, so many people captive in bondage. And Jesus is like, I got to break this bondage for these people. Comes down to that same thing, and I'll use it because we used Billy Graham a little bit earlier. He tells the story about the father and the son walking through the parking lot or walking through whatever, some field. And they come across an ant hill, and there's ants, and somebody had stepped on it, and there's dead ants and wounded ants. And the father turns to the son and says, how can you help them? And he goes, I don't know, Dad. And he goes, the best way to do it is to become an ant and go down and help. There you go. That's the whole. And so you do that for the sake of others. Paul goes, yeah, I need to stick around. You guys need me. Love it. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again.
Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video. But you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Boy, it seems like this hour just blew by. I don't know. It was a fast one. All right, we have our last trivia question. I want everybody to get ready, kind of think about this. You got to just kind of consider it. It's not hard. It's a very easy one. I'm expecting everybody to get this. So that number, by the way, 972-445-0770. For calling in, and then 214-210-8483. Who replaced Moses as the leader of the children of Israel? That's all I wanted to do. Who replaced Mo? That's right. I called him Mo. If you know that answer, text in or call in. You're welcome to do so. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, there you go. So you have that opportunity. Don't forget, that's our trivia question we got on the board, by the way. Who replaced Mo to take over leading the children of Israel? You're welcome to call in 972-445-0770. Or text 214-210-8483 before we get to the last of our text for today in Philippians. I will tell you what happened. So some of you are going to like me, and some of you kind of like me, and, you know, it's kind of like up and down. I mean, Don likes me. He just thinks I spend too much time in comedic form. But, you know, we pay the bill. So you get through. So in PhD social class. So I have a PhD class that I'm in, and then there's a small group, about 45 of us, maybe 50, that are in the PhD program at the university. And so there's a little bit of give and take, and, you know, people give each other a hard time, whatever. Anyway, a very well-known speaker and a very well-known person in the church came out and said that Christians cannot vote Democratic, okay? And so the person posted and said, what do you think? And everybody's making their comments. Now, you guys have to understand where I come from and stuff like this. So I wrote very forcefully, just so you can know, I did not like it when Glenn Beck said you cannot vote for Donald Trump. I didn't like that. And I thought that was totally off target and inappropriate. And I think it's just as totally inappropriate to sell somebody who you have to vote for. So Glenn Beck said, you can't vote for Donald Trump. And John MacArthur said, you have to vote for Republicans. And my response is Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. I seek the approval of God and not men. And I will do that which is right before God and I, the best I can of my consciousness. And I will respond that way. And then I wrote a little bit of a follow-up, making sure that everybody understood that when America enables people to make a decision, whether it's right or wrong, breaching their conscience and telling them what they must do when you are not in a position to do so is not effectively appropriate either scripturally or socially or any other way, no matter what direction that's going. And if somebody is really committed to one side or the other side, that's fine, but it better never have anything to do with fellowship, and it better never tarnish a person's image, and it's only before God that you stand. And I just kept going. and I was not saying that the people shouldn't vote for or should vote for Donald Trump. I was just saying I didn't like it when somebody told me who I couldn't vote for, and I'm not going to like it when somebody tells me who I have to vote for. Okay? I mean, how can you?
I thought that makes sense. I didn't think it was a bad thing.
You got to just like, look, if that's where a person that's like, you know, now I am, and if you guys have heard this show, I'm very, very, very pro-life, and I think that I'm going to vote the Bible, okay? That's what I always do. I use scripture, and I use it. That's fine, but don't tell me who I can vote for. Don't tell me who I can't vote for. Don't tell me who I can root for. Don't tell me who I can't root for, and don't tell me who I have to support and who I don't have to support politically, spiritually, emotionally, sports-wise, or whatever. Galatians 1:10, okay? I seek the approval of God, not men. I mean, I've given up millions of dollars and lost my entire family. I'm not about to turn it around and go, I think I'll just live for men's opinions. I think that's not going to happen. All right, so now that I got that off my system, by the way, I'm still in the group, but I'll let you know tomorrow.
Don't get kicked out yet.
Yeah, the Baptist Jew guy is in there, and it's like I think they're like going, uh-oh. It's like that's just, and I think most people think that way. I think most people think, look, I'm going to go that way, but I'm going to make the decision. Right, okay, I support that. That's all. All right, verse 25 in Philippians 1. Convinced of this, referring to the fact that remaining in the body and remaining a part of things will help the church at Philippi, he said, convinced of this, I know that I will remain, I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. So we can see that Paul deep down knows he's still needed for two things, for the progress of their faith and for the joy of their faith. So there's two things that Paul's like, yeah, I know I'm being used and the Lord's using me to help their faith move along, but I also know that he's using me in regards to the joy of their faith. And what's really important is for us to grasp in verse 26 that Paul knew in his ministry that the people would be blessed in Christ by his ministry. And that's what I want to talk to you about in this last little segment, this last little close, 4 or 5 minutes. And that is Paul knew that his ministry, his continuance would be a blessing. He's in prison. He doesn't have big financial support. Things are not necessarily going great for him in a lot of different realms, but sticking into the program and sticking around is helpful for others, and he's going to do it. And that's all about the ministry of being a blessing. And one of the things that people will talk about in charismatic churches and Pentecostal churches is the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. And in the Baptist church, they think, well, those things aren't necessary. And then there's that back and forth. I got it. I get it. There's also the gift of government. There's the gift of giving. There's a gift of encouragement. I get it. I get it. I'm with all of that, and I support all of that. But you know what? Another ministry that you could effectively identify, they say there's 27 gift ministries that have been identified. I think that's absurd because it'll be as many as God wants, okay? In other words, if God says, you now have the gift of sneezing quietly, I don't know. It's up to God. I don't tell him what to do. But I think the idea of the gift of being a blessing is one of the greatest ministries in the world, and it's often overlooked. And you think, well, how can you be a blessing? I don't know. I guess it depends. Every circumstance would be different. But if you sought to be a blessing in the circumstances, are you not seeking a great mission? I'm not talking financial. I mean, I'm not talking about that at all. Being a blessing could be just being present there for one another. It could be just praying for one another, an encouraging word. It could be just attending church. I'm telling you, and I've mentioned this before, you show up at church, okay? Or you show up on at church online and you say, I'm here, that blesses the pastor. Did you know that? He wants to know he's making a difference. Of course. And so you think of it in these terms and you think, well, is that a reality? Oh, my goodness. Not only is it a reality, it's crucial for us to bless one another. You see what I'm saying? It's like that's a fantastic ministry. And you don't have to write checks to be a blessing. You can just write you. Oh, that's a good line. I like that line. You don't have to write a check. You can write you to be a blessing to somebody. And if the church just had maybe a little bit more. Now, I will tell you that at the end of my post on the PhD, I told some jokes to lighten it up. Okay? Why? Because I'm not trying to. My goal is not to irritate. I was just responding, and then I thought, I got to be nice. You know, I mean, and I think that you want to be nice. You want to be a blessing. Why? Because I want people to do that back to me. You want to receive blessings? Be a blessing. You want to engage with blessings and have the Lord bless you? Bless his people. Bless his name. He'll take care of you. You'll never beat God in giving. By the way, and I mean of your time, of your treasure, of your talent, you'll never beat God in giving. He will always give you more than you ever give out. Always. Forget, I'm not even talking about the reconciliation that comes through Christ. I'm just talking in general principle. You'll never outgive God, ever. But then again, just look at how much he gave. He gave the best there was to give. Is that cool or what? I want you guys to really think about this, okay? I'm serious. Think, how can I be a blessing? All you got to do is say to the Lord, to yourself. You don't even have to speak it out loud. You just go, how can I be a blessing here? It's one question. That one answer or that one response or that one willingness to serve can change people's lives. Maybe they don't do the big dramatic get saved right in front of you and you get a little pin and put it on your lapel. But maybe they do get the big save and you get a pin when you get to heaven. Huh? It's not bad. It could be worse, right? Okay. All right. Love you guys. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.